All right, good break. Again, just disrupting our brain, moving into a new zone. So everyone join with me and take a deep, big belly breath. Remember, belly breath, the chest stays flat, the stomach expands like a baby. So you're really heavily oxygenating your brain. In through the nose. Out through the mouth. Breathing is one of the most, if not the most powerful tool that we have. Breathing, according to Harvard Mind Body Institute, is what connects mind and body. It's what sits in that space. Sometimes our mind is whirling and our body's in a different place. Sometimes we tell ourselves everything is okay, but our body is locked in a stress state or anxiety. Breathing is how we reground and recenter. And we have a tendency to breathe very shallow and rapidly. We, according to most studies, the average person is hyperventilating most of the day based on the number of breaths and the depths of breaths that we take. Deep breathing heavily oxygenates our brain. It connects mind and body. It puts us in that clear, conscious state. It shuts the curtain from, right, caveman brain, takes us out of the passenger seat, clears the background noise, and puts us back in the driver's seat with our hands on the wheel so that we can sit in the space and say, what's happening? How am I feeling? Is it working? Do I need to account for anything? Is there something I need to account for later? Hey, I'm rushing into a meeting. I need to take 7 seconds to get myself grounded so I feel good about the meeting, right? So I feel clear and intentional and focused. So breathing is really a good way that we can create that pattern interrupt. And we teach our brain, instead of the panic kicking in, that stress mode when we get stressed, we teach our brain that our first and best response is to pause, to breathe, to reflect, to get clear. And that becomes the default habit. Science also says pausing and breathing about every hour or so is a really good way to lock in what you learn, which is why we've done it a couple of times today. All right, we are going to kick off about 20, 25 minutes of Q&A. So we're going to go into the closing session. If you've posted questions there, we will answer them. If you posted in one of the other sessions and we haven't answered them, you can drop those in closing. But Allison will also be checking those rooms and bringing questions so we can make sure that we get as many, if not all of them, answered.
So Allison, while Steph was introing there, I went back. I didn't see anything yet in the live Q&A right now. So okay. I was kind of working from the beginning of the morning forward. So if I want to start, let's start with Science of Success. Nick's question that got 4 votes. So we're kind of working kind of the Slido popularity methodology here. Top goals is to hire an assistant and delegate non-revenue RPAs, our revenue producing activities. Has anyone had success with a virtual assistant? Yes. If yes, where did you find them?
Oh, great question. One, I'm going to open, I'm just going to expand my camera view here. I know we have some alumni on the call. Adam and the coaches and I can all jump in, but if there are any alumni on the call who have done this, and are willing or want to share that experience, unmute yourself, please, and jump on in.
Yeah, we can't see everybody on one screen. Yep. So if you do want to, don't wait for permission. Just unmute,
that's right,
start
y'all.
Talking.
I saw it, man.
Athena and Virtual Desk.
Say that again.
Athena and Virtual Desk.
Yep.
Okay.
We also have a program partners resource list that has virtual back office, Athena,
yes,
other resources. So if you are looking for resources, that is always a go-to place to go. Also Tribe, ask peers.
Yes.
People are really good at sharing on Tribe.
Total Office is another solution that is more advisory focused. So that is a firm that I don't, last check, they had a wait list to bring new advisors
last
on.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Athena, as Don mentioned, those are not advisor specific VA platforms. The other end of that spectrum,
but they do a very good job. They do a really good job of vetting and training their
users. Yes, yes.
Yeah, we've always had really good luck with them.
Candidly, the easiest part of a VA, I shouldn't say the easiest part, but finding them relative to training them and getting them involved in your system is the easier part of that. It, and again, how to do that is more of a more time than we have for today. But those are two platforms. And then again, loads of resources in, well, the library and resources for just the cadence of training, daily check-ins, et cetera.
Yep. And we've been, we have had a number of clients do it over the years. We're doing it increasingly so is we're using, you know, services like Upwork and Fiverr.
Yes.
Again, it depends on the context and compliance, but for projects, my team, we're like, you don't do projects anymore. If it is a project, we need to cull some data, move stuff from here to there, go through that. Absolutely. Go on at Upwork, get a great admin, find a who, bring them in, because we want a lean, mean, high performing, happy team, which means we got to all be doing energy creating relative to our role, revenue producing activities. And that's not awesome for most people, right? All day, every day. Yeah. So when we get those big projects, we now look at them through the lens of how do we resource to keep the team focused on their primary job versus, hey, everybody, you got a new boring, but very important project. So things to keep in mind.
More of an administrative housekeeping question. Allison, Jackie, Lauren, let you handle this. Is there a place in the member section on the website to schedule a one-on-one mindset and or practice coaching session? So I think this is a good announcement, a reminder for everybody here as to how they can schedule one-on-one time.
Yes. If you go to the coaching center under the website, you'll see an option for support. And one of the features listed there is a request for a one-on-one support call.
Awesome.
And you can give us a little bit of information about your need and also the coach that you think might be a good fit to help support you there. Liz is also offering 25-minute one-on-one coaching sessions, and you can sign up separately through a link that goes out in Inbox Insights or come to the Mindset Office Hour and she can get you that link as well.
Yeah, and how we'll support you will depend on whether you're in virtual or live, Allison, right? So does it work the same if they're in virtual or live?
Is
going to go to office hours?
Yeah, for virtual people, come to the office hours, mindset or practice. Those are alternating every Monday. Lifestyle Live has the option for that one-on-one support I just mentioned. Thanks, Stephanie.
No worries. All right.
The email. So Nick asked the question about an auto scrub for email. What service or software? Nick, I think you might be referencing the
Sanebox.
Yeah. There's Sanebox. There's Inbox Zero. There's a couple of other platforms out there in the chat. There was some conversation going on when I was talking about email. If you're a Gmail filter, if you're a Gmail user,
filters,
you can use Zapier to build your rules even more logic based than what the rules inside of Gmail. So there's all kinds of different ways in which you can leverage some of those learning platforms. It just depends on A, compliance, and B, how hands off you want to be in that process. Yeah. I will say the biggest fear that advisors, when I tell them that we use something like Sanebox to filter everything out, what if I'm exactly? And if that happens, you know, that is, I manage to the rule, not the exception. And not doing something like that because I might miss a random email out of the 54,000 emails that you saw there. Yeah, I've had a client email go in there.
Yep.
They're still a client.
Yeah,
we apologize. We said what happened and we've trained it and it hasn't happened since. So
There's other great services. I started using one called Rescue Time. So so I'll go into Twitter and it's like, this is your focus time. You are not supposed to be here right now. Click this button to break your own rule. And I'm like, nope, did not mean to do that. So sorry. And you have to train it. That's what I'm experimenting with right now. But as you train it, it gives you a report on your focus time, your interrupted to like it. So it's kind of giving you like a personalized dashboard. So check that out if you want to go. And then you've got all those notifications, right? You can set screen limits on your phone, etc. What's next?
7 mindsets of success. I struggle coming up with the words to complete an exercise like this. In cases like mine, what's the best? Oh, it just went away.
Sorry, I moved it up. I took your answer.
Allison,
what's the best resource to get
meddling,
verbalizing my limiting belief?
Toy with the speakers. Yeah.
I said you were answering it currently. I didn't know it was going to move it. What's the best resource to get help verbalizing what my limiting beliefs are? And what's the next best step to take?
Great question. So a lot of times we'll go to put pen to paper and we hit that I'm hung up. And it's not necessarily that you're hung up. It's that wall between your conscious brain, subconscious brain is sort of like caught up. And it's like, it's there, but we don't really have access to it at this moment, certainly not on the spot. And so we want to do things, I use the phrase surfacing, right? We want to really create space to surface those issues. Meditation is a great way. I'll be honest, one of my favorite ways, especially if you have what I like to call an active mind, you are that person that's like, I don't know if meditation's for me. It's really hard to sit still. I'm bad at it because I always think, that's everybody, by the way. Journaling is an incredibly powerful exercise because the goal is to just write without judgment. You just ask better questions like, hey, when I think about my relationship with money, what comes to mind? And then if you're like really stuck, literally you're right. I hate Stephanie. This exercise sucks. Why is she making me do this? Why do I have to ask myself about my relationship with money? What the heck is a relationship with money? All I remember about money is my mom opening up envelope when I was, oh, wow, maybe I'm afraid of running out of money. Holy cow. It might happen on day one. It might happen on day 27. I can't, the exercise is to get in the habit of sitting with yourself and processing what's going on behind the curtain instead of just getting up and doing the stuff and getting up and doing the stuff and working over it. It's like, hey, I'm going to spend some time with myself every day to figure out what's turning my gears. And it's okay. So this is where you have to give yourself permission. Same with meditation. It's called practice for a reason. It's not called a meditation perfection. It's called a meditation practice, because if you'd mastered it, you wouldn't need to do it anymore. Monks have been doing it for 40 years. They still practice, right? It's about, can we learn to sit with ourselves and be aware and reflect, not just on our outer world through the wheel of wheelie, like, oh, this happened today and I'm so mad at them. And why didn't the team ever this and the compliance suck? That's easy, guys. I mean this with love and respect. That is the lazy mind. The disciplined mind sits and says, okay, what's going on? Why am if I don't know what my relationship with money is, do I at least want to know? Yes, I would like to know what my relationship with money is. That is a stupid question, but I'm going to figure it out. What is, and you just write without thinking. The goal is to just get into a state. You hit a point at some point where the writing just happens, and that's where your brain just does the work of like, you did so much.
Well, just write for the garbage can.
Yes,
that's just write for the garbage can, because you often don't know what you're thinking until you start writing.
Oh, do you guys want to know how freaky I am? Circle of trust here. Anybody want to raise their hand and join the freaky club with me? When I first started journaling, I would tear out the pages because my handwriting was not neat enough. I would, thank you, Samantha. That's my girl. I am that freaky. That is the world I live in. It was my damn journal. No one was ever going to see it. And my brain was writing and it was like, this is so sloppy. You can't even read them. And then you should read my journals now. I can't even read them a day later. It's like, I'm just getting it out. That is not healthy. Okay. It's not healthy. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that's an example where we don't even know that we're being hard on ourselves and we're being hard on ourselves. I would literally rewrite my journal until it was a perfect journal entry, which is like totally the opposite of the point of journaling.
I think that type of question, as weird as it sounds and as like not right as it sounds, structure can hurt that. Like if you're struggling filling out those seven mindsets, okay, throw the structure away and just write. Yeah. Just write for the garbage can. And doing that, if you give it enough time, and I shouldn't say give it enough time, but
space.
Yes, just give it enough space and try it. If you're still struggling, that we're here, let us know.
That's where, go to an office hour, schedule a one-on-one if you've got the coaching pass. That's what we're here to help with. But that's the goal, is to surface that feeling and then try to resolve it. And if you can't, reach out for help.
So this one, admittedly, I don't know. Well, I'll just ask it. I'm curious how we help clients find that new and better place if they have negative belief systems.
Great question. It's going to depend on you and your clients.
And what you're planning experience.
And what you're planning. Like if you like when we were at United Capital, we had to build, right, what is Honest Conversations, now the FemLife platform, Money Mind, Honest Conversations, the guidebook, if you're familiar with that. We acquired firms from pure investment shops that had never given advice ever, to write life planners, to people who've been doing this for 37 years, to junior advisors who had like literally never sat with the client. And it had to be a process that worked for everyone. And it was grounded in behavior. That was the whole reason it was so awesome and it worked so good. We systematized, right? A very specialized, in this case, behavioral experience. That's what we'll teach you how to do this year on a smaller scale, but tech is where we can do that now. The idea is, can we go back? What was the question again?
How do you basically help clients with their own beliefs?
Step one is you have to. So one of the things we talk about when we think about the value proposition is, what's your advice model? And your advice model isn't your planning software. Your advice model is what level and depth and breadth of advice are you giving? Are you giving, right, just very simple, straightforward retirement advice? Are you doing complex advice? Are you going into things like elder care and buy-sell agreements and business continuity, right? The complexity scale. And then how are you delivering that advice? Do you have a 47-page deliverable or a one-page plan? Do you do it all in one meeting? Do you do it in five meetings? You're building a model and a set of standards that any advisor, whether it's you selling your firm and handing the model off, growing with other advisors, could do the same thing, Jen, right? Hey, okay. It doesn't mean you have to have those other advisors. What it means is you're going to build a world-class business in the process. When we got acquired by Genworth, we were not a mega firm. We were little by all standards. And they were like, wow, the level that you guys operate at is like better than most big firms. And we were like, well, we're business consultants. We're supposed to be good at this stuff. Right. So when you do that, it's not for the sake of, right? Tiffany and I like to make all our stuff pretty. That's just who we are. That's just a choice you're making. It can be ugly. It will still work. I just can't look at it if it is. I understand that about myself. It's okay. Yeah. It's worth the 5 minutes to hear the graphic designer investment. That's my joy. But our goal is to sit in that space and figure out how we want to use our time.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So that was all the questions in the opening session. Moving into performance playbook overview. The first question for me: how did you solve for 200 clients, desire, or working backwards from revenue goals and then making teamwork accordingly? In all honesty, I was solving for continuity of care in the practice. So back to where my best and highest use of time is in the promoting and positioning of the practice, right? Finding and binding. To have that positive impact in the optometric space, it's not me and one-on-one client relationships. It's a one-to-many approach. But if something happens to John, my lead advisor, guess who's responsible now for client service? Guess who doesn't want to do that anymore? I can, but it's not the best and highest use of what the firm needs. So part of it was solving for bringing in another lead advisor so that I have continuity of care if something were to happen to either one of those lead advisors. Obviously, a band-aid approach. I can't. Think that one advisor is going to serve 200 clients long-term. And keep in mind that 200 is plus or minus probably 10-ish relationships. Admittedly, with our service model, we're still trying to determine John's actual capacity. Is that 100 relationships? Is that 90, 85? Is that 115? We're evolving in that. Yeah. He's at 70, mid-70s right now. So we're thinking mid this year is when we'll start looking for that other lead advisor. That was the primary focus on why that 200, it's not like I want to make, $750,000 or $1 million. Like I wasn't solving for that. It was continuity of care first. Next question is somewhat related to the business plan. EBOC, I have an S corp and my reasonable comp is 160. So I can max out solo 401k. That's over 60-day contributions. Is that accounted for in EBOC? Yes. Every dollar that you take out of the business, regardless of what tax form it finds its way on, is your earnings, right?
So it's earnings, it's basically every expense before any money you take is going to be your back. So if you have $100,000 in revenue and you account for your W-2 wages, your distributions, that trip that you took, that rug on your 401k contributions, etc. That's your total comp package. Exactly. Your personal benefit. So the goal is to hit a minimum of 60. You can easily get to 70. People get up to 80. I start to get a little bit nervous about that point because it says you've got a certain amount of revenue unless you have like 12 really high net worth clients. But you just have a higher risk factor there. If you're out or a staff member's out or something's out, then that extra income is great. But then you start to kind of lean over your skis just a little bit. So again, I know there are people up in the 80%, and personally, I would rather have more leverage. I'd have rather have more redundancy.
Yeah.
Like at that point, at a $1 million practice at 80%, like, couldn't you just take out 700,000 instead of 800,000 and feel a little bit better when you said, that's just my philosophy, but that's my philosophy.
And I know this is being recorded, and I don't think John is probably going to watch this, but I could send John packing right now and run the firm in what it is and take my EBOC from mid 50, I think I'm 53 right now, and bring that up into the high 60s.
That's but not he's worth investing.
It. Yeah, he's that's investing. Not worth it. Mid-60s, what it would be, something like that. One of my favorite phrases, as you think about leverage and the relationship of time and money, I would, with more time, you can make more money. With more money, you cannot make more time. And so realizing with the finite commodity of time, I would rather, quote unquote, give up, or as Steph said it, invest more money via a lower EBOC right now for a same percentage of a bigger pie down the road.
Yeah, and what Tiffany and Jared will tell you, like when you're in a firm, for those of you, right, as you add partners, then that changes. Those margins tend to drop around, right, 30 or 35%. They can go, again, depending, right, they can go much lower if you're not managing, right? You can just get bigger and see your margins erode. So the goal is to understand your business model, your goals, and then set your EBOC and your profit margin goals based on that, and then manage to those the same way that you would manage to, right, the speedometer if you had to, right, not get a speeding ticket, if you will. It's a forcing mechanism for making clear and conscious decisions, because you don't give yourself the wiggle room to mess up. It shows up in your financials.
Mm-hmm. All right, regarding off days, what are some ideas you can share for solopreneurs? My wife works full-time and loves her job. Kids are still in school, so working remotely on a boat or something of that sort is limited. What can you suggest to maximize rest day? The big rule with that is, if you're going to be truly rest day black and white, there can be zero work. If you open up your laptop to check email, technically that was part of a work day. Now, again, you can define the rules about that. That's kind of what this is. What idea is going to, kids are still in school, so working.
So what
maximize, so if I'm understanding the question, and I don't see who wrote that, if you want to show yourself.
Adam's stepping on the dog.
I'm fully in his environment right now, and he is not taking, he's reminding me that that is his space. I guess if I'm understanding it correctly, is the question, how do I take off day while my wife is still working full time and kids are in school? If that's the question, then admittedly, it might be a little bit harder to have a true, hey, I'm going to,
you can take an off day. They might just not be joining you for all of them.
Yeah.
So one, like, you might look at things like your wife has a certain amount of time off. Are you using all of that for vacation? Might you want to carve out like a day a quarter for, right, a husband wife day, where she carves out a day, you carve out a day, the kids are in school, you have 6 or 7 uninterrupted hours to hang out together. Do you have hobbies and interests? Right. Are there things you want to pursue? I have clients who are like, I have time, I have no idea what to do with it. I will literally give them the exercise of, like, every Friday, your job is to just do something that's new or different or interesting. Take a pottery class. You don't have to want to be a potter. You don't have to commit to it for life. You just have to be like, hey, I've always been curious about that. I think I'll go. So it's really about, what do you want to invest your time in, and to what effect? I think what you want to look at is what time your wife and you ideally can take together based on what she's got and availability. You know, the kids obviously work around that. And then that will take up some of your free time. So maximize that. And then I would look at what you have left. What do you want to invest it in? We use Fridays as we call free or flex days. It's a free day. It doesn't have to be Friday, right? You could, like, I can take off on Wednesday and then use that Friday time to do the work, right? That's why you want cushion in your schedule. Flex are like special projects, right? Hey, let's start a new company with this person. Like, that's not going to fit in my 25-hour a week schedule unless I take something out. I don't want to take something out. That's what that Friday time is for. So I might say, hey, for the next 8 weeks, I'm going to spend this Friday time on this project. Or again, do you want to go out and start a hobby? Do you want to use that time for, so that's where you're just going to ask yourself, what are my goals personally and professionally? What time is going to the family? What's left for me? How do I invest it, right? Children, church, charity, communities, special projects, and then get as clear as you can. And then just start to make a few changes, even if it's, right, once a quarter, with the wife. There's a book we all love here called
the
Family.
Wife, as a noun, the wife.
The wife. Sorry. Damon and I call each other wife and husband. Like, it's like, hey, husband. I'm going to hit this husband in my phone. So I don't need that in any way. Like, not like a 19.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
You're the wife. I am the wife in my house.
One last thing on this before we jump into some of the closing questions. I consider an off day for myself as being home with the kids so I can give Andrea her time. She's a stay-at-home mom. It's the hardest, it's the hardest job that she doesn't get paid for. I joke she's on payroll at IPWM, but certainly not for the work that she does at home. So I build that into my calendar of, okay, I have my flex days, but then I also have my flex day with an asterisk so that Andrea can do, even if it's going to sit at a Starbucks to crochet or do whatever she, like, her time. Okay, so jumping in here, I know we want to kind of rapid fire these because we've got some things that we want to get to before closing. Do I need to train clients that I won't be responding to every email if I'm going to outsource to staff? I am used to responding. Allison, you did it again. I am used to responding.
I actually did it that time.
Well, you didn't? Someone else did it.
But I did see
that. Oh, there question. It is. There it is. It just got upvoted. Sorry. Okay. I am used to responding and letting them know a staff member will respond with details on a service item. Quick item or quick encapsulating theme here. You think this is a much bigger deal than they do. I promise you, as long as you communicate effectively any change that you're making, I don't think I had let clients know that Kathy would be responding to emails. She just did it because clients don't care that it comes from you. They just care that their question gets answered. So yeah, I promise you're making
it. Be happy when it's done in a timely manner.
Yeah, exactly.
They tend to appreciate it.
Yep.
You can, if you feel like you need to, like, set expectations, do like a meet the team, like, hey, there's an email, I think in the practice library about changing your email policy. Yeah. Like, we're not going to be checking email 17 times a day anymore.
Client engagement standard sample.
Yeah, under a client engagement standard. So there's some cool stuff there. And it's okay, like, build a new client engagement standards and send it out to everybody and say, hey, as part of our continuous desire to up-level the service and the quality of our engagement, we've developed a client engagement standard. We'd be implementing changes that will help us be more focused and productive so that we can be a better service to you. Please read the enclosed. Here are the bullets with a few important changes, like, hey, we won't be checking email every day. Hey, right, we're going to start responding via one inbox for the, like, whatever those changes are. And to Adam's point, so much of what our brains start spinning on, the worry wheel, are like non-events to clients. And if you do a little proactive communication, it's like the runway is really
smooth. Really not that big of a deal. Yep. All right. All right. Next two questions, basically, I'll ask in two parts. I'll share, then Tiff, if you can share, and then Jared as well, because these are coaches related questions. For us that were in first time shoes, second time or second year shoes, what was the biggest change you implemented in year two of Limitless? For me, unequivocally, it was refining and honing down the niche. I had identified that it was going to be optometrists in late 2018, and then everything was focused on the marketing side and building that brand equity in the optometry space in 2019. And then the ripple effect. So that was the hub, some various spokes in the business, but that was the hub and the focus. And then the second part of that question was, what are any other apps that we have or any other tools that we use for personal use? I will go against the grain on that. I admittedly don't use a whole lot because, back to my email, like, I know myself, I can't have shiny objects. So I am a little bit more of a tech minimalist. I use a journaling app. Evernote is my big central repository. Anything that I capture that I someday want to organize or might use goes into Evernote, and then I will organize it from there during periodic reviews. Tiff?
All right. So my second year, my first year was honestly spent on all of the mindset and inner work, and really getting clear on which seat I want to sit in, made my way there. The second year I really think a majority of that was spent on the client service model, really getting clear on, like, what is it, at what time, and how are we serving, and what exactly is the value that we're adding. So it had a little bit of blend of, like, those messages and all of those things. The vision really came in between those 2 years. And then And then that gave us permission to really go into the niche. And then we, the third year was niche. The fourth year was operational leverage, and the fifth year is all growth. So that's really been my limitless journey. There's been a level of getting ready to get ready. And as I dug into those things and dug into it with Jared, the partnership of that, you know, really having to take that to a team level and as a second generation firm and work through levels of that. But that's kind of been my my limitless journey. Apps. I'm with Adam. I don't use a ton of apps. I'm trying to stay away from my phone more often. So I love that little screen time that comes up and tells me how much time like I'm not on my phone. But I do OneNote. I use OneNote at home. I use it. So it's the counterpart to Evernote. Pick a system, I guess. They both work really well, but I use OneNote and work it heavily with my executive assistant and with Jared on a weekly basis. I really put together our agendas for the next week and ensure everything is listed out. And then I utilize that at home too. So like if you want vacation checklists or you want, I don't even know, vacation checklists, what my husband and I like, our reflection and goals for the year, sporting stuff, birthday party stuff, it all lives there. So that's my little hack. Jared?
Yeah, I think Tiffany and I, our limitless journeys kind of overlap. So I guess year two for me would be more niche and really drilling down on who our high value client is, what the model is for them that's highly differentiated. That was really, really big for us. And then as Tiffany shared, last year was operational efficiency and getting to the point, or not operational efficiency, operational excellence, I believe was our term, in this year's growth. So there's always something new every year that I feel like we are continuing to take from Limitless and incorporate into our own firm. I'll give kind of an unconventional tool. So Twitter, love it or hate it, wealth of information if you know how to utilize it. So yeah. Curating lists of different categories that you want to follow. So I have like my sports teams and all that fun stuff on one list, but I have one that are what I consider to be influencers for our target market clients, and another one that's like financial Twitter or FinTwit that I follow. So utilizing those lists to be able to really get efficient on the content that I'm consuming. I really don't consume news from a whole lot of other sources other than Twitter because I've gotten my list to the point where I'm happy. And then the little bookmark button is sort of like Evernote. You can just tag things for later, tweets that I want to come back to, articles that have been shared, data that's available. If you just let Twitter and the algorithm decide what you should watch, Twitter is a hellscape. If you get in control and filter the data, it can be a really great tool. Especially for those of us in this business, because there's so much nuanced information that's available and it's very timely and packaged really well on that platform.
Great point about Twitter. Yep. Great point.
I was actually just looking at my phone. You guys, that's my phone right there. See, there's no email on my phone. And the top is like, you know, business talk tools, utilities. But I noticed like the bottom row is really where I've been, like YouTube. Like I will often in the mornings, like, listen to songs or listen to videos or things that are really motivating and inspiring, like to really just get in a great state. I've got my productive app, right? So in, like, I love the success shifter on paper. When I'm really trying to anchor habits, I'll do that. I can really move to the app and just track them there, right? So I can click them off throughout the day. My circle app, right? So I've got my circle time in my schedule, right? That's our tribe time. But I do have it on my phone because I will be waiting for Emma at dance at 8 o'clock at night. And that girl will get chatty and I'll be in the parking lot for 15 minutes. And I'm like, mom, I'll just sit here and be on tribe, right? And then I've got Asana, right? If I'm in there and I'm like, oh, I've got an idea. I just click on my Asana app and I'm like at team. This saves them from me texting them. By the way, I can just drop it into Asana because, right, we love to be like, hey, everybody, you're not going to read it at 8 o'clock at night. You're not supposed to, right? But yeah, your brain sees it and you look anyway. So it's just interesting that I noticed that the four tools I really use consistently to manage myself on my phone are right there on my bottom row. And those are really just the apps that I have. So the stuff in the back is just my kids and trail maps and utility, you know, stuff you got to do to be a mom.
All right. I know we still have some questions that we did not get to. The team will harvest those. We will put those in tribe. We will get to those within the next couple of days. So, and again, just use that as kind of that forcing mechanism if we had something that we didn't get into, or as you have questions, Tribe is where you can place those. We'll make sure that we get to them. So we have about 10 minutes left to get through kind of closing remarks.
All right, we're going to take you through what to expect over the course of the year and in your upcoming roadmap calls. Before we do that, I want to take just a moment. As you set your plans and priorities, right, whether it's over the year, right, looking at it iteratively each quarter, we also want to, at each retreat, great thing to do at the end of each of our calls in between, by the way, is an exercise we call starting today, I will. Hey, you know what? I picked up a lot of tips today. Can't do it all. That notepad will just sit there forever waiting for you to get around for it, right? So Allison, I believe is in your resources. This form is a quick starting today, I will. Starting today, I will. Only check email twice a day going forward. Starting today, I will use my success shifter. Starting today, I will follow a weekly model schedule. Starting today, I will use Twitter lists or SaneBot, whatever, anything that you took away today, I will read this book. So take just a moment to give yourself, starting today, I will. What's one, two, or three things that based on what you took away today, starting today, you will what? Scott, Dan, Aaron, take a moment to do that. All right, when someone has one, does anybody want to share one quick? Who will share one quickly? How about that? I'm not giving you an option.
I'll share mine.
Thank you, good sir.
Starting today, I'm going to be ruthless about sticking to my CEO days on Mondays and at least a half day on Fridays for marketing.
Excellent. I love, what do you get from the word ruthless?
That I can't be making exceptions.
That
last year, I
tried to do this. Right. That's so, not like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. Ruthless is I'm a fierce. I am a feeling. I am on a mission here. Love that, Christian. Great job. Anyone else want to throw out a starting today? I will. Be brave.
I'll throw out something inspired by Adam that on the email. In fact, I kind of want to see your email, like that thing you shared on your inbox. But yeah, I mean, email and other stuff like that dominates my life. Until I get that sorted, I can't do anything. So in fact, starting tonight, I'm going to look at SaneBox. Tomorrow, I'll talk to one of my team, see if they're right. I have made contact with that Athena, I think it is.
Great.
But they're out in the Philippines. I'm a little worried about that, but you know.
There's two Athenas out in the world. Yeah. Make sure you're with the American Athena.
Yes. Especially if you're going to be opening up email to anything that's client service. Like I have a VA that is in the Philippines for $5 an hour, but she doesn't do anything that's client related. Yeah. It's all PowerPoint presentations, project-based work in or on the business, nothing in the business. So yeah. Use the
video. Yeah, I know that because we called them a couple of years ago and he was like, great. I'm like, what? I thought this is like $50 an hour. Why is it like 10?
Yeah.
And then I realized, and then I called the other Athena and they're like, yeah, we have a really long waiting list at that time. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Great, Jack. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Adam. Appreciate it. Awesome.
All right. So what we are going to be working on this year is, as we talked about this morning, your Limitless Program Guide. So when you open that guide, you're going to have a guide map. You'll get a version of this coming up. It will have the different learning paths, right? The different retreats and climbs that you can take over the course of the years, those trailhead lessons, right? The basic lessons you want to start with, and then a list of those advanced climbs as you want to go deeper into a topic, or you're in year two and you want to go back. You don't have to have a client advisory board or do certain things to have an awesome practice, but you might want to go back, right? And elevate the practice with those climbs. So the goal is ultimately similar to a game board, right? Start here. We're going through those base camp lessons, right? Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Complete that path. When you've completed all of the relevant paths, not, you won't do them necessarily in order, but the goal is to get through that game board, and doing so, you'll build that limitless practice. When you work with Lauren, we're going to basically build out a coaching roadmap, which she's going to talk you through, and the idea is to get really clear. If you did nothing else, this and your post-it will get you through the year. To Adam's point, you don't have to do that big, even the one-page plan. You can every quarter say, what's going to move the needle this quarter? Do that lesson with the right starting today I wills, and that will absolutely move the needle. So you get to choose the pace and the path that's right for you. So Limitless will meet you where you are. So you're going to set your priorities. We're going to do these base camp lessons here in Q1, right? Today, we're doing our performance retreat. You're going to do your lifestyle roadmap calls with Lauren for both legacy and lifestyle. You're going to have that call to get clear on your roadmap. She's going to walk you through that in just a second. If you're in a mastermind, your first call will be on February 13th outside of your meetup. And then from January to the March retreat, we're going to implement and apply that is your priority. Ruthlessly, Christian, love that word and the commitment and energy behind it. Apply, right? Mindset work, the vision work, the time work. Set yourself up for success. Don't set it aside. And when you start to do that, remind yourself, if I set this aside, I am not setting myself up for success. All right, Lauren is going to walk us through roadmap calls.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. So just real quick, this is this applies to lifestyle and legacy folks. So leaders, y'all can just kind of ignore me for the next few minutes here. But all of you should have received an email and a reminder email to take your practice diagnostic. If you have not received it, there's about 30 of y'all who have not done it yet, not naming any names, but
She said y'all, so it sounds so nice.
Right. It's very polite. It's very polite. Yes.
Yes. If you add the y'all, it just, you know, much nicer. The first step is check your spam. It might be in there. If you still don't see it in there, email the coaching inbox and we will get you all set there. Once you take the practice diagnostic, most of you have already experienced this. 24 hours later, you will get another email with a link to my calendar. Use that link to schedule some meeting with me. They take place starting this week and then all the way through March. So you can sign up, you know, if you feel like you need assistance, you know, right now, feel free to sign up as soon as I have a spot open. If you want to wait till after retreat, totally fine too. So whatever works best with your schedule. During our call, I'm going to walk through that in a second, but for the call, bring copies of your three-year vision, your model practice, your one-page business plan, your model calendar, all the things we talked about today. Now, again, it's totally okay if you do not have these filled out and you're still struggling with them. That is what I am here for. So just bring whatever draft you have together. And then Steffi, if you don't mind advancing to the next slide.
There we go.
Thank you. So what to expect exactly during these calls. So as I mentioned, bring all of these resources. We are going to look at your practice diagnostic, kind of see, get a, you know, feel for where you are within your firm. One of you pinged me and asked, well, all of my practice diagnostic was red or orange. So how are you going to prioritize? My guess is
I'm out.
There's more green than you're giving yourself credit for, but together we'll map out, you know, how to best prioritize some of those red and oranges, and we will create a guide map for the year. So again, some of the folks who've been around for a while, your path is going to look a little different than someone who this is their first rodeo with Limitless. After your coaching call, you're all going to receive an automatic email. I believe it's 30 minutes after the call that leads you to a survey about your call experience and how we can best continue to support you. Please fill that out. It really helps us know how we can, you know, make sure you're feeling engaged and supported. If you are a virtual member and you need additional support from me or Liz with the Mindset Office Hours, please join Office Hours. Those are open to y'all. I encourage everyone to join, but definitely if you have any questions for me or the group, that is your best place to get support. And then if you are a live member, you will get a link to my calendar and we can schedule your personal coaching session together. Also, starting in March, you will all be receiving monthly check-in emails that will just ask how you're feeling. They have some pretty fun emojis with them that you get to indicate, you know, if you're the smiling one or you're kind of the one. This is how we, you know, make sure that we are helping you out, setting you up with a coach if you need it, connecting you with other members, providing you with any resources. So please take those. It really not only helps us, but it helps y'all as well. So, yeah.
All right, last but not least, and I want to make sure I get through this so that this event does not cut us off because we are 1 minute over, which I feel like is really good, but now I feel like I'm on the line.
Oh, it's like, oh, see, you right. Cut us
off. I gave you a 4 minute buffer then.
I got a 4 minute buffer. All right, next time we might just want to extend that all back. Just in case. Next Monday, you're going to get your next Inbox Insights. Pay attention in there. We're going to send you some additional information. We are going to kick off February with a high performance happiness habits success sprint. A success sprint is when you pick, in this case, 30 days and you say, I am ruthless, I am fierce, I am all in on something. And this something is really elevating our thought habits, our business habits, our behavior habits. And so we are going to kick off. James Clear is doing a really cool 30 days to applying atomic habits. It's a free series. So we're actually pulling that series. If we all sign up on different days, we can't do it together. We figured this out. They're like, oh, we'll send everybody a link to sign. Nope, that's not going to work. So we are going to auto-enroll you in a special email campaign where every 3 days, you're going to get a kickoff email. Every 3 days, you're going to get forwarded the James Clear email because we are aligning with those atomic habits. So if you haven't read that book, this would be a good time to pull it out. Yep. Use that success shifter. And you're going to identify in February the habits that you really want to double down and commit to so that you can elevate your success, your work, your wealth, your well-being this year. I'm going to do it with you. So it'll be in every Inbox Insight. Every third day, you'll get an email. And each day, you're going to be part of a text campaign. Each morning, you're going to get a very quick, very short tip, idea, motivation, quick video so that every day for those 30 days, we as a tribe are really going through that. We'll set up a room on Tribe for conversations. And so we will not be texting each other, right? 188 people will not be texting back and forth on a text string, but we can do that in Tribe and keep the conversation going there. If you want to unenroll, we'll give you that the ability to opt out, but we're going to opt everyone in with the goal of making February the month where we really then take everything we learned in our pre-work and this retreat. We understand the clarity of our vision, we're moving in that direction, and now we're going right from vision to action and application. And as a group, we're gonna really double down and elevate our habits in February.